بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال أمير المؤمنين في الحديث الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: حدثنا محمد بن عبد العزيز قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن الخطاب بن عبيد الله بن أبي بكرة البصري قال لقيته بالرملة قال حدثني راشد أبو محمد عن شهر بن حوشب عن أم الدرداء عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتسعين: لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قطئت أو حرقت، ولا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا، ومن تركها متعمدا برئت منه الذمة، ولا تشربن الخمر فإنها مفتاح كل شر، وأطئ والديك وإن أمراك أن تخرج من دنياك فاخرج لهما، ولا تنازعن ولاة الأمر وإن رأيت أنك أنت، ولا تفرر من الزحف وإن هلكت وفر أصحابك، وأنفق من طولك على أهلك، ولا ترفع عصاك على أهلك، وأخفهم في الله عز وجل. حضرت ابو الدرداء رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ سیز دیٹ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم ایڈوائزڈ می ریگارڈنگ 9 matters. He made a bequest of 9 things. He gave me 9 advices. He advised me to hold fast to 9 very important items. Number 1, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ قُطِئْتَ أَوْ حُرِّقْتَ. Do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ قُطِئْتَ, even if you are cut to pieces, أو حرقت, or even if you are burnt to death. So this was the first advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abstain from shirk. In one of the earlier durus, we have discussed in detail shirk and its types. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in numerous ahadith have commanded the Ummah to abstain from every type of shirk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. If a person leaves this world in the state of shirk, he will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So la tushrik billahi shay'a, do not ascribe anything as a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither in his rububiyyat nor in his uluhiyyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being that nurtures us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being that provides us. So he is the only Khaliq and he is the only Raziq. He is our only creator and he is our only provider who provides everything for us. Who provides us everything to fulfill all our needs. So he has no partner as far as rububiyyat is concerned, as far as creating us is concerned, creating the whole creation is concerned, as far as nurturing us is concerned. And he has no partner in uluhiyyat. He is the only Allah. He is the only deity. And he is the only worthy of worship. He is the only one worthy of worship, every type of worship. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. All my verbal devotions are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillah. All my verbal devotions only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasbih, tahleel, dhikr, dua. All my physical ibadat only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was-salawat. Salat, qiyam, ruku, sujood, tawaf. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wat-tayyibat, all my monetary ibadat only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakah. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various forms. Hajj is both physical, verbal and monetary. Salat, verbal and physical. So all ibadat, every type of ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in rububiyat, in our creation and in our being nurtured, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partner. And in uluhiyyat, in him being the deity, in him being the only one worthy of worship, he has no partners. And then there are certain qualities that are exclusively only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can be the third type of shirk. That a person believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my only creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only deity that I worship. I don't worship anybody other than Allah because nobody deserves. So as far as these two qualities are concerned, majority of the Muslims throughout the world, they do not fall in the trap of shirk. It is the third type of shirk that majority of the people become victim to. And that is, there are certain qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are exclusively for him. For example, ilmul ghaib. Having the complete knowledge of the unseen.
This is a pure quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody else from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam or awliya ikiram rahimahumullahu ta'ala, if they gave any news regarding the unseen, this was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that news. And as a result of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them that news or that knowledge or that ilm, that they were able to tell other people. It is not that they had some special quality, that they were able to go into something and acquire this knowledge without the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. So there are two differences between the ilmul ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ilmul ghaib of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, they gave many glad tidings or they made prophecies of the future which came into existence. So to a certain extent we have to believe that yes, they did have ilmul ghaib. But the difference between their ilmul ghaib and the ilmul ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that the ilmul ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was dhati. And the ilmul ghaib of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam or awliya-i kiram was wahabi. Dhati means Allah's ilmul ghaib is that ilm which belongs to Him. He is not given that ilm by anybody else, or He doesn't acquire that ilm from somebody else. So what is going to happen in the next minute? What is going to happen tomorrow? What is going to happen after 1 month? Allah has this knowledge. And this knowledge, it is His own knowledge. This doesn't come from elsewhere. He is the source of that knowledge. Nobody else. So this is zati. So the ilm-e ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zati. And the ilm-e ghaib of the awliya-i kiram, if they make a prophecy that tomorrow this is going to happen, and it happens, this is called karama. And if a Nabi says this is going to happen after 1 week and it happens, this is called mu'jiza, miracles. So ilm-e ghaib of the awliya and ilm-e ghaib of the anbiya is not dhati, it is wahabi. The source of this ilm is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah who grants them this ilm. This is the first difference. The second difference is that the ilm-e ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. He has full knowledge of the whole creation. He has full knowledge of the past. He has full knowledge of the present. He has full knowledge of the future. And He has full knowledge of whatever is above the heavens, whatever is below the, whatever is in the universe, only Allah knows. Only Allah knows how vast the universe is, how big the creation is, only He knows. He has full knowledge of each and every item. He has full details of each and every item, of the past, present and future. So not a single portion of the universe is hidden from Him, and not a single second of time, be it past, present or future, is hidden from Him. So His knowledge, His ilmul ghaib is kulli. It encompasses everything. And never does anything become hidden from Him. Nothing has remained hidden from Him. Nothing becomes hidden from Him, and nothing will become hidden from Him. And as far as the makhluk is concerned, because the source of ilmul ghaib is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so whatever He shows to the creation, to the wali or to the nabi, whatever amount of knowledge he gives to the Nabi or he gives to the Wali and the Nabi only has that amount of ilmul ghaib. So let's say that tomorrow 1,000 things are going to happen. And there is a wali in our locality, or there are 50 awliya in the UK. One may make a prophecy that tomorrow this is going to happen, and it happens. Another one may say tomorrow this and this is going to happen, and it happens. A third one will say tomorrow 25 things are going to happen. This. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full knowledge of the whole 1,000 items. And the walis will only have the knowledge of those items which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him of. And same is the case with the Nabi, Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And the difference between the ilmul ghaib of wali and ilmul ghaib of Nabi is that the ilmul ghaib of a Nabi is certain and ilmul ghaib of wali is not certain. Because the ilm that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a Nabi, it comes either direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or it comes through the medium of the angel or it comes through the medium of a dream. So every source is 100% certain. So whatever a Nabi is inspired with, it cannot have the possibility of a Rahmani inspiration or a Shaitani inspiration. No, it has to be Rahmani. So whatever a Nabi feels in his heart as an inspiration, whatever a Nabi sees in his dream, whatever a Nabi hears, any knowledge that comes is 100% ilmul ghaib. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is why. And as far as a wali is concerned, there is always that possibility that if he is inspired, that it could be an inspiration that may have an effect of shaitan. And the wali may make a mistake in his judgment. Another difference between the ilmul ghaib of a wali and ilmul ghaib of a nabi is that the information of the nabi is 100% accurate and the information of a wali is not 100% accurate. For example, if a Nabi was to say that on the 5th of April, this is going to happen. It will happen on the 5th of April. And if a Wali was to say on the 5th of April, this will happen. And let's say that his inspiration was correct. It was Rahmani. It wasn't from Shaitan. And majority of the times, 99.9% of the times, it is always from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it could be 5th of April. It could be 6th. It could be 10th. It could be 7th. It could be 6th, it could be 5th, it could be 4th. It is not always accurate. Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanotvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was once asked, Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanotvi, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a very, very knowledgeable personality. Hakim ul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullahi alayhi, some of his works have been translated into English. Very, very knowledgeable personality. Very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a great academic. A master. Master in tafsir, master in hadith, master in fiqh, master in suluk, tasawuf. A very great personality. Hakim ul-Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Despite being a very great scholar of his time, a legendary scholar, he says that I picked up a book written by Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi, and I read a few pages. He said that they were so difficult that I decided not to continue reading the book. He read a few pages and it was so difficult and it was so time consuming to understand what Hazrat was trying to say that he said that I decided to leave the book. So Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutvi Rahmatullah, he was once approached by somebody who asked him this question, that why is it that the inspiration of a wali, despite being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes contains error. And when the Nabi says something, that is also wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a lot of difference between a wahi and an inspiration of a wali. As I said, the wahi that descends on the wali, it is 100% definite that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas here you cannot see that it is definitely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it many a times contains error. Error in not the actual inspiration, but in the detail of the inspiration. Sulaiman will become ill in April. Or he will be afflicted by a calamity in April. And instead of Sulaiman, it's Ahmad. Flood will cause havoc in Leicester in the year 2014. And instead of flood, it's fire. It causes havoc, but it's fire. Or flood comes, but it doesn't cause havoc. So in detail, there is an error. Why? Why is there a difference between wahy is from Allah, ilham is from Allah, inspiration is... Why is there a difference? Now, it's a very academic discussion. So Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutvi Rahmatullah, he said, he looked in front of him and there was a building in front of him. He said, how far is this building from us? So the questioner looked at the building and he said, approximately 1,000 yards. So he said, isn't it possible that it is 1,005 yards? So he said, yes. He said, isn't it possible that it is only 975 yards? He said, yes, that's possible as well. He said, fine. And then he continued walking with the questioner. And they came very near to the building. He said, how far is the building now? So the questioner said, 5 yards. He said, could it be 7 yards? He said, no. I am sure it's 5 yards. He said, could it be 3 yards? He said, no. It can't be. It is 5 yards. So he said, this is the difference between a Nabi and a Wali. When Allah shows something to the Nabi, he shows him from a very close distance. And when Allah shows something to the Wali, he shows him from a far distance. So in detail, you may find some errors when the Wali prophesizes something. But when the Nabi prophesizes, there is no error because he's always shown something from a very close distance. So ilmul ghaib, the difference between the ilmul ghaib of Allah and the ilmul ghaib of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam or his chosen servants is that the ilmul ghaib of Allah is kulli. It encompasses everything, every portion of the universe and every part of the time. And the ilmul ghaib of the makhluk, of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam or the awliya is not kulli. It does not encompass everything. Whatever they are shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have the ilmul ghaib of that portion only, that part only. So it could be 1% of what Allah knows, it could be 5% of what Allah knows, it could be 10% of what Allah knows. And the second difference is that the ilmul ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zati, it is his own. He is the source of that knowledge. And the ilmul ghaib of the Anbiya alayhi salam or awliya is not their own, it is wahabi. It is not zati, it is wahabi. They are given by Allah, the source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, لا تشرك بالله شيئا. Do not ascribe anything as a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in rububiyyat, in uluhiyat, and in those sifat, and in those names. which are exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name Khaliq is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot call any human Khaliq. The word Rahman is the name Rahman is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot give that name to anybody else. It is for this reason the ulama have said that those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not permissible to call somebody by that name. It is haram. For example, somebody's name is Abdul Rahman, to call him Rahman is impermissible. A person's name is Ghafur, to Abdul Ghafur, to call him Ghafur is impermissible. So there are certain names exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and certain qualities exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe that Allah also has this quality and some other being also has this quality, this is also shirk. And majority of the people fall in this type of shirk. They believe that Allah is our only creator, Allah is our only provider. There is nobody who is looking after me. And Allah is the only one worthy of worship. But when it comes to the sifat, which are exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is where they feel. For example, ilmul ghayb, that the kulli ilmul ghayb, only Allah has, nobody else. And other people can only have ilmul ghayb if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to give them any ilmul ghayb. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being who gives children. This is his sifat. Because he is the only Khaliq. And it is only he who decides whether to give a son or whether to give a daughter or whether to give both or whether to deprive from both. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. Only he decides. Now to believe that a certain person has been given special powers to give a son or give a daughter or give both, this is shirk. Allah is all hearing. He is the only Sami. And Allah is all seeing. He is the only Basir. Now to believe that whatever I do, my Sheikh who is in Pakistan or India, he sees everything I do. Whatever I say, he hears everything I say. Exclusive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, La tushrik billahi shay'a. Do not ascribe anything as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in qutta'ta. It is so important to stay away from shirk that even if you are cut to pieces, even if you are cut to pieces, that means even if you are tortured, because this is an integral part of aqidah. If a person lives without this aqidah, he will never go in Jannah. Even if you are cut to pieces, or even if you are burned. Now here, one may pose a question that we find in the Quran that a person should never utter the word of kufr or word of shirk unless he is compelled to, unless his life isn't put in danger. If somebody threatens and he says that if you don't utter the word of kufr, if you don't utter the word of shirk, or if you don't convert to our religion, we will kill you. During such circumstances, if the heart is content with one's belief, then to save one's life, it is permissible for one to utter the word of kufr. Illa man ukriha. It is not permissible to utter the word of kufr or shirk unless for that person who is compelled, who is forced to, because of a life threatening situation. If you don't utter the word of kufr, I will damage your eyes, you will never be able to see. I will damage your ears, you will never be able to hear. I will cut your tongue off, you will never be able to speak. In such circumstances, if a person's heart is not in agreement with what he is saying, the heart is content and firm upon his own belief. But just to save himself from the calamity that he is in, it is permissible to utter the word of kufr. It is permissible to utter the word of shirk. That is what the Quran says. And here the hadith says that do not ascribe anything as partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are cut to pieces or burned. So there is a apparent contradiction between the two, between the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran. The ulama explain this in two ways. One is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that do not ascribe anything as partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not become a mushrik, do not utter the word of kufr whilst believing that with your heart, even if you are killed. So overcome with circumstances, do not take this decision that now I have no choice but to convert. I have no choice but to convert, otherwise I will lose my life. So you decide that okay, from now on, I will live a life of a mushrik. So you are not only uttering the word of kufr whilst the heart is still on Islam, you have also changed your heart. And from the heart you have taken this decision that from now on I am going to be what I say. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to such a person. That do not commit shirk with your heart even if you are killed. Yes, if you want to save your life, you may commit shirk with your tongue only but not with your heart. This is one explanation. Second explanation, despite there being room for one to utter the word of kufr or utter the word of shirk when the life is in danger, as long as the heart is content with one's beliefs, it is more virtuous to even in that situation not utter the word of kufr and shirk and give one's life for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving Abu Darda this advice, because Abu Darda was a person of a very, very high caliber. So for Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that despite there being room to utter the word of shirk if life is in danger, but for you, you must go for the better option. That option which will elevate you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, do not commit shirk even if you are killed. Even if your life is in danger, do not commit shirk. And the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in and the Tabi'een remained very, very firm as far as this aspect of the deen was concerned. Whether it was shirk or whether it was any other aqidah. I cannot recall the name of the Sahabi at the moment. When Musaylamah Kadhab claimed prophethood after the prophethood of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a Sahabi radiyallahu anhu was captured by his men. And when he was brought in front of Musaylamah Kadhab, he asked him, what is your aqeedah regarding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So this Sahabi radiyallahu anhu said that he is the Prophet of Allah. So Musaylamah said, what is your opinion regarding my prophethood? So the answer the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu gave was that I cannot hear what you are saying. So he said, what is your opinion regarding Muhammad? He said, he is the Nabi of Allah. He said, what about me? He said, I cannot hear what you are saying. Now, Aqidah. So he said, look, your life is in danger. Unless you accept me also as a Nabi. So he said, I cannot hear what you are saying. My ears are blocked. So he ordered his men to chop off his finger. So one finger was chopped off. He said, what is your opinion regarding me? He said, I cannot hear. He said, chop another finger off. What is your opinion regarding me? He said, I cannot hear. And this continued. His limbs were being cut off. And his only answer was that I cannot hear. When he was asked about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say, he is the messenger of Allah. What about me? He said, I cannot hear. So, لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قطعت. Do not leave your aqeedah even if you are cut to pieces. Practically, this great Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he showed it for the people to come after him, that each and every limb was being cut off, but until he remained alive, he did not turn away from the aqeedah of Khatmi Nubuwa. Although it was permissible for him to say that, yes, you are also the Nabi of Allah, as long as the heart was content. Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, itabi'i, he was brought in front of a non-Muslim who said that accept Islam with his other friends. Accept Islam. They all refused. So fire was kindled and a big pot full of oil was put on the fire. Accept Islam, no. Accept, your life is in danger. Everybody said no. Reject Islam, everybody said no. Accept our religion, everybody said no. Although it was permissible for them to utter the word of kufr. But no, they said no. And when Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was thrown in that oil which was boiling, nothing happened to him. Nothing happened to him. And when he returned to Madina Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And when he created the means for him to return to Madina Munawwara, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he came out to welcome him. And he said that I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has shown me in the ummah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person who was treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just as he had treated his Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. So my friends, let us remain firm on this aqidah of Tawheed. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is our only creator, He is our only provider. But at the same time, those sifat which are exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must believe that these sifat belong to Allah only. Those names which are exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must believe that these names belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. When calamities come in homes, that is when people become victims of shirk. They resort to non-Muslims, treatment of other sorts, or even Muslims who are involved in shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, save our aqaid, especially tawheed. And when we breathe our last, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us with the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, emanating from our tongues. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina. Rabbana ighfir lana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى
اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا، يا مفهم سليمان فهمنا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمته.